Church, listen, tonight we're going to take a break that is necessary for a few reasons. We need some body ministry to take place tonight. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. I have never seen the amount of people hurting like we are seeing right now. And it's not just us. When I say us, this church. As you can imagine, I know a lot of other pastors who are pastoring churches, and they're saying the exact same things. People are going through difficulties, hardships, health, financial, mental, spiritual, marital, like we've never seen before. Now, you might say, well, it's because it's a big church, so a big church has big problems. This has been a big church for a long time. I've never seen it like we're seeing it right now. We need to pray tonight. We need to look, in a way, a fresh new look at the Lord and His desire for us. I've just gotten in this evening, a couple of hours ago, been with a friend since early Monday morning that has gone through everything that can possibly be done to sustain his life, to bring, hopefully, a healing. Every bit of chemo appropriate for this type of cancer. Everything you can imagine. Even experimentation stuff. Even stuff that physicians said, we can't do this to you because it will just, the test will kill you. But being able to pull some strings and for this man to go through those things and survive those tests, all along the way, following God, hanging on to God, watching faith in the fire. And as he's going through right now, going through, remember this, going through the valley of the shadow of death. Christian, you and I do not go through the valley of the shadow of death after you're dead. That's victory time. It's from the moment you tonight or your life tomorrow, you've already been exposed to the news maybe for your life that you've got this illness, you've got this situation. And from the moment you're brought to that place, when the doctor or doctors say to you, this is the deal. This is why you've had headaches. You've got a mass that's near the stem of your brain, your spine. We cannot operate on it. We can only bombard you with radiation. And we don't know what's going to happen. The moment you hear that, you begin now from that moment, not only your fiery trial that all of us as believers will experience. Every Christian must go through and will go through a fiery trial in life. No Christian escapes this. But listen, my fiery trial will be different than your fiery trial. Mine might be an accident. Yours might be a cancer or vice or whatever. Doesn't matter. It will take you and I to the brink of our faith. Do you understand that tonight? Yes. Christian, listen. You will not escape. But can I say this? It's nothing for you to escape from. God has engineered for you and I to go through these fires in life. And they might even, with the advent of the news, take us into eternity. The fiery trial begins at the revelation of the news. And listen, at some point in time, you will wake up to the fact that this Christian, you or I or us together, at some point in time, whatever, we have now entered in the valley of the shadow of death. It's the whole thing that we go through now. And I want to speak to you tonight about this. I've traveled so much since I've seen you last. My brain is scrambled, and I think it was last Saturday, Lisa and I were up at Daisy Merrick's graduation service. You know what I mean, graduation service? Her funeral, graduation service. And that God-glorifying event. You hear about faith being strengthened. You hear about faith being tested. You hear about faith being realized. And all the while, I'm thinking about families and couples and singles in this church that are literally battling for their life right now. And they're wondering, it's universal, people, it's universal. Every one of us will be brought to the point at some time to ask God questions. And one of the most obvious questions that we want to ask God sometimes is, why is this happening to me? I mean, we have a tendency to do that over the slightest things, don't we? Why is this happening to me? And as that question progresses in our lives, why is this happening to me? Why is this marriage messed up? Why is this child this way? Why is this happening? Why? As I sat with my dear friend this week, I asked him, have you thought? I haven't heard you say why ever in your years of battle. He's been battling this for years. I haven't heard you say why yet. I haven't heard you ask that question yet. Tell me about that. And he said, why not? I said, explain. The world has fallen. I've read my Bible. God loves me. I don't like the timing of things. Okay, think. God loves me. Personally, I don't like the timing of things, he said. But I want you to think about that for a second. It's never the right time, according to our estimation, to go through fire. When would you sign up? If it was left to you, when would you sign up for fire? If God says to us as Christians, you will have tribulation in this life, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If God were to say to you, there's going to be events take place in your life that are so hard for you, but hang in there, I'm going to pull you through it. And this has got to happen. It's for your spiritual blessing in eternity and for your witness now. You are my child. I have my name upon you, and I've got the perfect plan to glorify my name through your life. And when you get into eternity, you will say to me, thank you for all of that stuff. Christian, listen. What are you going through? What will you go through? There will come a time in eternity when you will say to God, thank you for everything. Hey, let me put it to you this way. Those of us who are Christians, do you remember all the stuff we went through before we realized God loved us? Before we got saved? Were you sexually abused? Were you beaten up? Were you abandoned? Were you rejected? Were you what? It doesn't matter what it was. It was your horrific life. And then you become a Christian, and the more you yield to God in this area, the greater he uses your past. This is the key, by the way. You want to be a Christian, that's fine, but you don't want to give him all the stuff? Then you'll never have that stuff of the past become a great victory. Give him all this. Surrender completely and watch what he does to the brutality of your previous life. Your BC days before Christ. This was Jack. BC. In a land far away. In a time forgotten. When you bring that to the Lord and say, God, I realize you created me. You love me. Your Bible makes it very, it says clearly that before the foundations of the world were ever laid, your mind had me there. You had me. That being the case, I surrender all and all the stuff of my upbringing. I can either hang on to it and never get the answer. I can hang on to it and let it kill me. I can hang on to it and try to figure it all out. Or I can get smart about it and give it to God. And then when he has a hold of it, he uses those very, very horrific anchors and balls and chains that were tied around your legs. And he turns them around. And I don't know how he does it, but he forges wings out of that stuff. And you wind up saying, God, thank you. I thank God for my upbringing now. I want to say it publicly. I thank God that I was rejected. I thank God that I wasn't wanted. I thank God for all the stuff that went on in my life. And I got to tell you that before Jesus, I never would have been able to thank God for that. But I do now. So in that same light, I want you to think about this. If what's happening in your life here and now, in your fiery trial, then how much more will it be when we come to the end of this life, whenever that might be, and we take one fresh, brand new breath in eternity? I believe I will be turning back with you saying, God, thank you for all of the sickness. Thank you for all of the heartache. Thank you for all of the whatever it was that made your word bigger in my life. There is no way to see God and all of his power in this world without difficulty. There's no way. Psalm 107, verse 19 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Psalm 107, 19 and 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Can I read it again? Psalm 107, 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You need to hear this tonight. I need to hear this tonight. When a man turns to me and says, I'm good. Please listen to this. I'm good to go. And I can even say goodbye to my wife. We've had a great marriage. I'm good to go. But he said, I can't say that yet. Please pray for me, Jack. I can't say it yet about my kids. I just don't want to part with the smell of their hair or the sound of their voice. And the question is, well, when would be a good time for that? There is no good time for that. When we think about it through our angle, from our perspective, there's never a good time for that unless we look at it through God's eyes. This takes huge faith, people, that I think God will impart. It's called grace and his mercy to be able to say, I am going to give my children or my wife or my husband into the hands of the Lord. He brought them. Listen, because men, we've got this thing about us because we're arrogant and crazy that my family needs me. And what are they? Oh, they need me. Listen, okay, I understand the emotion, but the truth is God will take care of them. And I say it and you hear it, but it's nothing until you have to live it. That you really, really, really look your wife in the face or your kids in the face and you commit them into the hands of the Lord. And my heart breaks as a pastor because I see people, just in this church, I see people who have invested in the Word of God. They have studied the Bible. Then they have done everything within their heart's desire or passion to do the Bible. They yielded themselves to, and they've grown. And they get the news. And they catch their breath. And they say, okay, God knew this before eternity. And Lord, here we go. And they grab verses just like this. They cry out to God. And look what it says. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. I know how you hear that right now. I know how I hear that. I know how you hear that. This is how we hear it. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, which only lasted for about 24 hours. Right? And he saved them out of their distresses. And everything was perfect after that. And then, in fact, they just wound up, you know, living their life, and it was just fantastic. But that's not what it says. It could be that way, but I have found it's not often that way. Usually we finally cry out to God after there's been a long road of suffering. Then, when it says that he delivers us from our distresses, could it be, listen, could it be that part of that delivery could be, if not the ultimate delivery, is that he takes us to heaven? And he happens to use a head-on collision like I saw coming down from the men's retreat on Saturday where a man was killed right there on the mountain just outside the camp. Where did that guy go in eternity? I don't know. But all of his earthly concerns and earthly troubles are no longer a factor right now. He's in eternity. When you make the Lord the focus of your life, this verse, verse 19, Psalm 107, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Your word says to deliver me, that you will deliver me from my distresses. I don't know what that means, God. I just know that you will deliver. And listen, you will deliver the best possible way for me. Church, listen, you and I may not agree with how he does things because we're humans. But what he does is absolutely perfect, and he's not asking for our approval. When my friend said, why not? That's the right response. Who are we to ask him why? We didn't ask him to come into this world. Make me 6 feet two. We didn't ask him that. It was out of our mind. We couldn't ask him that. That absolutely foreign to us. Non-existent, right? God had a plan. He still has a plan. And whatever you're going through, whatever suffering you're experiencing, he hasn't abandoned you. In fact, can I say this? It's rather strange. I'm hoping it might mean something to you. But in the darkest moment, in the darkest hour, sometimes we only have a grip that's with our nails, and we're hanging on. And so when someone says, you're going to die, the doctor says, you're not going to live long. Isn't it interesting if we would just pause? Because see, our emotions take control in the moment, in the instant. But what if we were to back up and then consider this for a second? Wait a minute. I want to live. Any normal person wants to live. Any normal person wants to be healed. And God does heal in some situations. Why not all? I don't know. The way this world's going, sometimes maybe the healing is passing away into his arms. But this situation, when we are gripped with this and we're hanging on, we back up and take a deep breath in the moment of our doubt, and we have to think something. This, I'm talking just bare bones, on face on the ground, crying out in our distresses. What am I concerned about? I don't want to die. So you must love life. Of course I love life. What's the next issue? Death seems wrong. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Agreed. You want to live? Death seems wrong. Where do you get these ideas from? Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, man, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore because all the stuff that's gone on in my life. Wait. Just your argument proves that you know it should be going better. You know it should be going better. You want to live because God put that in you. And even death is a witness of the veracity and truth of God's word. Think of it. Even death is a witness to his truth. Because it's this book that talks all about death. It's this book that tells you how to beat death. Think about that. I love that. Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're a Christian, the moment you accept Jesus Christ, you have just found the cure for death. Take this pill, it'll cure your what? Take it. Okay, take this pill. It'll cure your upset stomach. Well, I tell you what, take this pill, it'll cure death. Jesus said, if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. How cool is that? Have you found the cure for death? Even death itself bears witness of the truthfulness of God. Oh, death's the ultimate. No, it's not the ultimate. No. Life is the ultimate. Jesus came promising eternal life. Exactly what you want. Isn't it amazing? So the doctor hands you a slip. Listen, let's be honest. All of us are going to get some sort of a slip someday. It could be a slip, a piece of paper, or a slip and a banana peeling. The result is the same. Eternity. As Christians, and I don't understand this, as Christians, God uses suffering in our lives. It has an eternal dividend, has an eternal reward for us. And he uses it in our lives to minister to other people who are watching or listening or know about it. It's weird. It's amazing. When I'm in the grip of doubt, I counter that reality by saying, well, God, can't you do it some other way? God, if you're glorify your name some other way. I mean, you can do anything. Pick something else. And no sooner those words come out of my mouth when I'm telling God how to be God, that they actually fall right back on my face and I can feel it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, can you just forget you ever heard that, God? I mean, I don't know the answer, but I know that that was not it. Our emotions rise up against our faith. And how awesome is the Bible when it just looks you right square in the face and says, cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he'll save you out of your distresses. And church, I want to ask you, will you let God save you out of your distresses the way that he has decreed for your life? There's a family. I'm just bringing up one family right now in this church. The wife, as far as I can tell, as far as I know, is in perfect health. She's got a husband, and she's got two little children, I think both under the age of 3. And one, I think, is 1 in diapers. But because of her husband's illness and what has become of him, he has been radically devastated by whatever this thing is that's attacking his body and his brain. And he's completely now she's got 3 children to take care of, so to speak. Now he cannot rise up. He cannot get out of bed. And for whatever the situations are, this particular group says, well, we can't pay for this anymore. And this particular group says, well, you can't do this. And then the mortgage company is saying this, and this woman is in a vice, and we're trying to figure out how to help her. And it's very, we don't know what to do yet. We're working on it. This is one family here, one. And the mom now, she's the caregiver to 3. But some authority just told her, you've got to go back to work or else this is what's going to happen. And then she put her income together and to go to work to meet the requirements of the state, the care that must be given to her husband and her children cost more than what she gets paid at her job. And the state said, tough. That's what you do. You do this. And that doesn't even cover their home. You say, oh my goodness, this is horrible. Listen, there's people in this church. You might be sitting next to them who are living out their lives right now in the grip of these worldly pressures. And I've read in my Bible, Jesus loves me, but I just kind of need to see something. You see? And we're all like this. And I want to encourage you tonight. Every one of us has something to bring up before the throne of God right now tonight that is burdening our heart. It may not, listen, your life may be perfect right now, but it may be your children. It may be your adult children who are godless or off the path or whatever. I don't know. It could be your spouse. It doesn't matter. We've all got something. It could be so far removed from you. It's an uncle and, you know, wherever. But don't we have something? I don't. If you don't have something, we need to check your pulse. But some of you may be sitting here tonight and you know there is something coursing through your veins and it shouldn't be there, and you're wondering that, or you're feeling, I have an alien in me. It is this stuff in my blood and it's killing me. And if I can't get a new kidney or a new something, I'm not long for this world. And you feel almost like you are at war with yourself because there's something in you. Or you've got a tumor or you've got a cancer and it's like, what in the world's going on? I sent them my word and healed them from all their destructions. God's not a liar. See, tonight when I read that verse, you're thinking, that's great for some people. No. That's our emotions yelling at us right now. It's not great for some people. It is God's word. And he says to his kids, I've sent you my word, and I have and will heal you from all your destructions. The word is the answer. Yeah, but what if I die? The word is the answer. It's much longer and deeper and more real, this Christian life, than this world we're living in. And every one of us, unless the rapture happens, will go through the valley of the shadow of death. And the thoughts will come into our mind, where's God? Oh, he's with you, Christian. He's with you. You're not going to slip through his fingers. You are not going to be dropped. You guys, he said, and I paraphrase, cheer up. I have named every one of the stars that you can't even count. He says, I've given them names. Now, I don't know if God did that when he was bored one day or what, but how cute is that? Let's name those things. And he's naming them. And aren't you more valuable than a star? What is your worth compared to the solar system?
Well, it's been there a long time. I haven't been here very long.
Don't compare yourself, though, as equals. Don't compare yourself as some equal to the sun, to the moon. That's silly. You see the moon tonight? If you didn't see it coming here, you'll see it tonight. It's brilliant, huge. As awesome as it is, as old as it is, it has no knowledge of your existence whatsoever. Tomorrow morning, the sun's going to rise. And all of his strength, says the Bible, he comes out like a man ready to run a race. And he streaks across the sky. And there's no place, the Bible says, where his heat can be hidden. And it has no knowledge of your existence. So tell me who's greater. You know the moon's there, but the moon has no idea you're here. All these people want to worship the heavens. Oh, the stars. The stars. The stars, the stars. You ever been to Sedona, Arizona?
Yes.
Man, outside of Laguna Beach or Hollywood, it's the biggest concentration of loonies. It's amazing. People walk around, I saw people with crystals in their navel, in their belly button. And they got their t-shirt cut open so you can see their crystal there. And it's like, whoa, that's awesome. Pyramids on their heads. I saw a guy drive down in Sedona in a Ferrari convertible with a pyramid. It looked like it was made out of pipe cleaners and straws, a pyramid on his head. Getting the angle of the harmonic convergence so that he could be one in the universe, which is scary because it's they always tell you, I'm going to be one in the universe with myself. Dude, I'm the last one I want to be around. I don't want your thing. I want to know God. I don't want to. And it's amazing because they do all this stuff. And you want to ruin their life in the name of God. Do this. Hey, what's up, man? Oh, you know what? The stars are lining up and I've got a stand. I got my GPS. And if I stand right here in the next hour and a half, come on, watch. It's going to happen. I'm serious. People do this. You stop them right there and say, wait. Are you aware of these planets? Yes. Oh, yeah. Look, I have an app. This is important. This is so important. It's like amazing. And those things are important. They're so important. Well, let me ask you something. Is there anyone out there, or are they telling their other planetary buddies, let's get lined up for Goober down there so he can really feel good about it all? Those stars have no knowledge of that poor guy standing there. Do you understand what I'm saying? The universe has no knowledge of us. God put those things up there to speak to us, to show us his glory. And when we lose sight of his grandeur because we're sick, or we've got a disease, or we've got this issue in our lives, the very fundamental thing is God in the midst of our troubles. Our troubles are like the waves of the sea. God is like this rock. He's the lighthouse. And all this stuff that rages, we know this in the pictures of our minds. We know this in our observable universe, that all this stuff, there's all this raging, and we judge the raging. There's the ebb and flow. There's the up and down. There's the light and dark. There's all this stuff going on. And we say, it's unstable. How can we say it's unstable? Because we know that there should be something that is firm. We know that there's something internally that it should be strong. And we look at ourselves, watch, we have this trouble come, the doctor tells us we've got this issue, and we look inside of ourselves, and there's nothing to tie onto, right? Because our emotions take our thinking and our thoughts and just absolutely ebb and flow, up and down, black and white, turbulence. And we start, listen, it manifests itself physically. We start hyperventilating. We start breathing hard or shallow. We get nervous. We start grinding our teeth. We have night sweats. We start biting our nails. Hair starts falling out. We start getting sick. It affects our bodies. Why? What's going on? A very, very spiritual situation is manifesting itself physically because we think we have no anchor to tie onto. The moment we get our eyes off of the turbulence on the inside of our soul and onto the Lord who says, cry out to me and I'll deliver you from this. Now you've got something to tie onto in the midst of all this stuff. It's not Jim Beam. It's not pot. It's not Coke. It's not drug. It's none of that stuff. God's promises are sure. They won't fail you. And I want to ask you tonight, can we just kind of dim the house lights just because it feels good? And you have your thing. And maybe tonight you want to pray for someone. Or maybe it's you. You have someone on your heart. And you can pray out loud if you want, or you can pray silently if you want. But with the time remaining, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, I didn't realize how turbulent my soul was until I came in here tonight. And I realized that I have hooked my faith to the Titanic, and I'm going down. I mean, I am crying myself to sleep at night. I feel like someone's cut the inside of me out. I can hardly catch my breath. I'm so worried about what is going to happen or not happen. And I'm losing it. I need this pillar you're talking about. Jesus is the pillar. He is the Word. It's amazing how you look in the eyes of someone and you say to them, Jesus said, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. You know it. But until you live it, you just know it. Until you live it, it's not real. We can say it. I can teach on it. You can teach on it. You can share it with others. But let's be honest. Listen, friends. We are to be reading His Word and knowing His Word because we are storing up faith against that day when it comes to us. And some of you have called yourselves Christians for a long time, and you're a Christian. You die, you're going to go to heaven. You believe Jesus, but you never, or you have very rarely ever made the Word of God your reality. You've got Jesus, but I am watching people in this church right now who take in the Word of God. They're going through their fiery trial, and with tears, they are strong. And I'm blessed by them. And it helps me for my day when it comes. And then there are people who have been here longer or just as long, and they didn't take God's word so seriously. And they get the same letter that the other person's gotten. They have the same cancer that the other person has. Both are naming Jesus. And one person absolutely goes into a total fit of absolute despair. What's the difference? What do I say to one person? I watch them and they're crying and they're hanging on to Jesus and they say, listen, I know He knows all things. I've read His word and all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. I don't like what's going on, but I will embrace it because He's my God. And the same person who's also going to heaven is over here screaming, asking why and how could this happen to me? And I get, oh my, in this the end of the world? And what am I supposed to say? What do I say as a pastor? What can I say? Honestly, think about it. As a spiritual doctor, if I conducted myself as a physical doctor, one doctor would say, you know what? You ate right spiritually, right? Or you ate right physically, you took care of yourself, and you're going to be able to fight this much better because you're healthier physically. The same physical doctor could look to the other person and say, look, you ate Twinkies all your life, you never exercised, you didn't take care of yourself, and this thing is going to devastate your life. That's what a doctor would say. What's a pastor supposed to say? Two people, one has taken the word of God seriously, the other one hasn't. They both trust Christ for salvation. They both believe He died on the cross, rose again from the grave. They have both had conversion experiences. They're both going to heaven. And I watch one person and I say to them, listen to you, however this turns out, if God heals you or not, your faith in Him has made you whole. Look at you. As I hear and watch you, my faith is being strengthened because I see what I talk about and read, I see you now putting it into practice, and it's being lived out, and it's active, and you glorify the name of God. And then the next appointment in my office is this guy. And what do I say to him? You've had 20 years to read your Bible, and you have not. You're freaking out. You're crying on my floor. You're pulling your hair out. You don't know what you're going to do. And you're screaming. And all I can say to you is, lean on what you have put inside from God. And they reach inside and they don't have anything. They have John 3:16, which is fantastic. But that's all they got. You hear what I'm saying? They don't have anything else. And I'm seeing too many people like that right now. Pastor, my doctor called me. I'm going to die. He said, I've got this. Calm down. We're all going to die. Jesus said, if a man dies, but is the biggest problem. But Jesus said, but Jesus said, if you, but I have this problem. You see, you hear what I'm saying? This is reality. In your life, you didn't invest in the things of God. You didn't take the word and put it inside your heart. You never committed it to memory. You never took it for real. And now this thing has come upon you. And you're wondering where God is. And you're not regurgitating one pillar, one anchor, one rock. And all I can say to you, and all I can say to them is, listen, you answered all the right questions. You're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But you're not going to have one stitch of peace between now and then. Why do two of God's kids handle it completely different? This is serious business, people. He says to you tonight, as you cry out to him in your trouble, I will heal you from your distresses. I will send you my word and deliver you from all your destructions. Will you let him tonight define what that means for your life? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and there's going to be a day where we all collectively, or one by one, will come before you. In that moment when we will all, in due time, be given the news that this is it in this world. And Father, we are praying now, I pray now, we pray that your word would come up and out of us in that moment. Jesus, we tonight surrender any whys that we might have, and we would say to you, Lord, in all honesty, even if you told us the why, even if you told us the answer, our minds could not comprehend it. We couldn't take it. And if we can't trust you for these little physical things, how will we ever really trust you for the eternal things? And so we ask you tonight to forgive us, Lord, of the times that we have, and maybe are even now, questioning you as though you owe us something. Or we can teach you. And Father, tonight as we come, we're broken people. We're not broken in the point of our faith is broken. We're broken because what we've received or what we have in our hands to lift up to you tonight, we cannot fix. Be it a tormented mind, or be it a physical ailment, a relationship, a marriage, a child, a parent. Tonight, Lord, we admit to you we cannot fix it. And the reality of that has caused us to have our emotions overrule our faith. So, Lord, I ask you to heal the marriage situations I have in my mind, the health issues that I have in my mind, those that are affected by them. Please, dear God, may they surrender and see you. Church, in the matter of moments that we have, it doesn't take long because, look, that person or that situation is on your heart. I know this may sound corny, but please just don't think about the corny part. In a few moments, the service is going to end, and then I will ask you all to stand. But in a symbolic and yet real way of crying out unto the Lord tonight, will you, when you're ready, will you maybe stand and say, I give you Jesus, my friend, or I give you Jesus, my marriage, or I give you Jesus, my cancer, or my diabetes, or I give you Jesus, my anxiety, or whatever it is, and just kind of shout it out. Now, God can hear that, but I think it's a faith-building thing. I would stand here tonight to just kind of be as an example that I would say, Lord Jesus, I give to you my brother who's battling for his life right now. And if that's true on your heart, Christian, stand up and proclaim in a second, not some long prayer. Just say, Lord, I give you my wife, or I give you my whatever it is. Will you just stand as the Lord leads you, and you're going to cry out to him. And don't wait for somebody else. He can hear everybody at once. Will he hear from you now? Will you do that now in Jesus? Heavenly Father, we pray to you now and we ask you, Lord, to radically, surgically, strategically send forth your word and separate our perspective and our emotions and our opinions from your truth, your word, your will, our faith. And Lord, may you peel back the veil that has somehow kept us from seeing your profound love for us. Lord, forgive us for having equated difficulties or rough times or, quote, bad news as some form of barometer as to how you feel about us on any given day. Forgive us, Lord, for making you a smaller God. And Lord, open our eyes of faith greater and brighter than ever. Jesus, that whatever we have lifted up to you tonight, we would leave with you now. As I stood here and as a mere pathetic human being could hear the cries of your people, as I eavesdropped upon them, listening to them speak to you, Lord, it is amazing how it's reduced down to a one hand of concerns. Health, children, grandchildren, spouse, marriage. Wow. Will you not be so wonderfully great in such small requests as these are to you, great and awesome God? We thank you tonight that the moon and the sun and the stars and this earth and the trees and all that is in it are simple reminders. When we see them tonight and see them tomorrow, Lord, remind us again that these things are reminders to us. They are signs to us that you're in control. You're the God. You're the King. You're the one. You made us. You brought us here. You've given us breath. We belong to you. Our situations are your situations. And we surrender tonight. And Lord, forever, may we forever have you before us. May we forever have that glorious, beautiful covering of seeing everything that comes into our lives with your word. I'm in control. I've got you covered. You're my child. I'm at work. Lean on me.